seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Radio Law Talk, hour number three here. We've applied the deodorant. We've taken the air freshener. We've gone to the breath mints. We are ready to go. Ready to go. The first hour, we talked. The first hour was all about murder. Which, I don't know. Look, why do we talk about murder? Look, it's interesting. Nobody's really going to be interested in the small claims court lawsuit about where the fence line should go.
Tell that to Judge Judy.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But we're different than she.
We are. Yeah, she's, look, more power to her. She's made
the market,
quite
man.
The career.
Way to go.
And she wasn't really the pioneer of that. Who was the pioneer? Who was the first to really do? I remember watching the very first shows.
Joseph Wapner with Doug Llewellyn in
the People's Court. Judge Wapner. I remember.
I loved him.
Who was also a boxing referee, by the way.
Was he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He
yeah.
was?
Yeah.
I thought that was Judge Judy's husband.
I don't know.
He could have been a referee. You know, a lot of lawyers.
In Nevada, I think. Yeah.
A lot of lawyers go into some sort of referee-type field, like pro football, college football. The referees, a lot of them are lawyers, judges. And it's not a bad deal. You work all week, and then you hop a plane on Friday or Saturday, fly out to the venue. I had a friend of mine whose father was a referee in the NFL, this is back in the mid-90s. She says, yeah, you know, it wasn't a bad gig. He'd work at his law firm, then go and ref an NFL game, make $8,000, and then, you know, go making $8,000 a week, ref an NFL games on the weekends.
Tough duty.
Yeah.
And kind of high profile, kind of a nice little career burnisher. If you're an attorney, people know you're a referee. I would imagine it's good for business.
And just think, you get to see the game for free,
yeah.
like up front and center.
Get yelled at no charge.
See the game for free, it depends on how you're doing, because there's a lot of people that would accuse you of you're missing the whole game, ump. You know, I don't know what you're watching, but you're not watching the game.
Boy, have I heard that before as a former baseball umpire.
So,
oh, boy.
Did you ever ref football?
No, I did play by play. So I ref basketball and umpired baseball. Those are my two things. So,
I just want to know. Remember Ed Hockley?
Yes, the weightlifter and his son's a referee now.
Yeah, right. Ed Hockley was an attorney, but he was also a bodybuilder, and he's the guy. I mean, he was old, but he would be the guy, the ref that always told the crowd, holding number 32, and he managed to make every one of the calls some sort of a pose, because the guy had biceps to, you know.
Oh, he was a gun show.
He was ripped and insisted on wearing a uniform that was at least one size too small for
Via
him.
Via a preponderance of the evidence, I...
Yeah, yeah, it's like, first down, kadoosh! Oh, brother.
You got to give him credit. He could do it.
Yeah, he could do it.
Yeah. Todd's doing it all right now, too. You should see him.
Yeah, although I'm not quite nailing the poses.
People would
pay
money to see what you just did, Todd. Or to not see it, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason they'd pay money is because it would act as a good appetite suppressant. Yeah, I don't know. We lost weight watching Todd pose because we didn't want to eat for a week.
How could that
be? All right, so we talked.
Hey, did you see the eclipse?
What are you talking about? Did I see the eclipse? I tried my little where I took my phone, put it on the backward facing thing, took some video of it, ran the exposure all the way down so that I could see. Yeah, I'm not in an area where I could see very much of it.
I was in an area where I got to see it.
Where were you?
I was in, at that time I was in Charleston.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and we took some great pictures. It was pretty amazing. And we all had glasses, and we also had a little thing for your phone, so mm-hmm. you could actually put it in front of your phone and take pictures safely. And we were passing it around to people and letting them use our glasses and stuff because other people weren't prepared for it. But we were prepared.
Hey, man, pass that around. It's the eclipse. All
it
right.
was.
Oh, wow.
It was really fun.
I was watching it through the window of a medical clinic. I was lying on my back getting infused, looking up out the window going, yep, luckily it was a tinted window.
So wow.
Works my mind. It's kind of cool, actually.
My youngest brother, who's, you know, he took his oldest son, who's about 8 or 9 years old, and they live in Arizona. He just popped on a plane and took him out for a couple of days to, I think it was Georgia.
What a good dad.
Just so that they could get a better look, because mm-hmm. that was where it really... The thing that really cracked me up was when you saw a listing, the map listing of all the Airbnb vacancies or no vacancies, and it was the no vacancy in this swath of the projected path of the eclipse. That was hilarious.
It was one of the biggest travel days, the Thursday before. People literally were traveling to go there.
The local chambers of commerce, they were just all over it. It was great. The one before that was in Ely, Nevada, where we have an affiliate that plays the show, by the way. And they had people lined up in this. I mean, Ely is, it makes small, it would redefine it. But it was apparently quite packed. So very cool. I love it.
Wondering how many...
Wish I could have gone.
I'm wondering maybe how many post-eclipse... phrases such as this were uttered. So, does this mean we're going to start dating? No, maybe I'll see you next eclipse. the world could end.
How many post-eclipse? You're going to have a what?
Yes, no kidding.
Well, I'm just saying.
See, 12 minutes after the hour of 11 was where the show officially went off the rails. Cal, maybe you can get us set up or just do the intro of this. This is another baseball-themed case or no case, right?
And a celebrity version.
Lovely.
Right, here we go. Not many people have hit 500 or more Major League home runs. Chuck is one of those extremely talented group of at least 26 people who have done that. But he hit his 500th home run with somebody else's bat. It came up in the end of the season, and he was kind of tired, and he said, "Hey, Tony, could I borrow one of your bats? It's a little lighter than mine." Tony acquiesced, and sure enough, the switch-hitting Chuck jacked one out of the park on the road off Stu Miller of the Baltimore Orioles. Now comes the intrigue. The bat was an instant museum piece. Chuck gave it to the umpiring crew, who immediately sent it to the Baseball Hall of Fame at their request. But Tony said, "That bat is mine." After a few years, he went to an attorney when a collector told him that bat was easily worth $500,000. He wanted to see if he could reclaim it from the Hall of Fame so maybe he could sell it. He wanted to know if he had a case or no case in the matter of the misappropriated bat. That's what we'll do. That's our guess.
All right.
Set up.
So, and this goes to Denise first, right?
Yep, Denise is up first.
Okay.
I am up first.
Todd, you're on deck.
Yeah, but we're going to get the obligatory time to think about it because we're coming up on the break, right?
Yeah, we've got a minute and a half.
Do we know when this 500th home run was hit?
Let me think. Based on the people, I'm going to guess it was the early 60s would be my guess, perhaps late 50s.
Okay, late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, it was in Baltimore Memorial Stadium, so it was before the new park and all that. So
okay, all right. Just trying to narrow it down.
Might
here.
Give you a hint.
All right.
That's a hint that I don't get anything out of.
Well, I'm sorry. I tried.
Well.
Yeah, I don't know baseball very well.
That's okay, but you do know property law. You know if it's going to work out. I know you've got some good thoughts on this case. You always do. So.
You said it's a celebrity edition. Do we have any bonus points for this?
Oh, yes. You get 2 points if you can name Chuck and if you can name Tony.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you got right. 2 points apiece.
And are you using fictitious names?
Yes.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, I said, you know how I do it. I don't ever give their obvious name, but those names are quite real.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, we will hear Denise's answer when we get back from the break. I know she's thinking hard about it. I can see the smoke coming out of her ears. And so we'll be back after this with more Case or No Case. If you want to chime in, 855-529-7234, do you know who Chuck and Tony are? Give a call and let Cal know if you're aware.
We'll be back with more Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99 and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Uh-huh. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Well, come on.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz2Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need, fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612.
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Penny.
All right, so we are back here, the case or no case. It was thrown to us. The basic scenario is Chuck hit his 500th home run, but he used somebody else's bat when he did. The bat went to the Hall of Fame, and then Tony, the other person whose bat he used, you know, the question is whether or not he has a claim to get the bat back or some sort of compensation from the Hall of Fame because it was his bat. Is that
right? By the way, the year 1967.
Mm. 1967.
Yep.
And this was in Baltimore, right?
Baltimore, you bet.
Okay. All right. I don't think that my who's who is correct, but it's the only – once you get a name in your head, you can't think of another name. You might as well just go with that. So, but, Denise, this is to you. So what do you think?
Case or no case? If so, who, if you want to take a shot?
This is not a case.
Why?
Well, because – I don't know. This is how I feel about it. I think that any good ball player is going to respect the fact that that was a very important bat, that he or she would not be, you know, requiring payment for it and would be proud to have their bat that was used for the 500th home run to be placed in a museum.
Even if it was swung by another guy?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I do think so. I don't think that they would have filed suit to try to get the money from it or anything. They would have voluntarily donated that bat for that purpose.
I think that's a good observation. And so you say no case.
No case.
Okay, Todd, what do you think about the case or no case merits?
Let's do that first. So to piggyback on what Denise just said, look, if you got a guy sitting on $4.99 and the 500th home run is the next one, there is a watch going on.
He's
coming. He's got the milestone at bat. So anything, and you also know that it is the common pattern in practice of the Hall of Fame to collect baseballs, bases, bats, anything that...
Gloves, hats, anything.
Yeah, anything that is associated with a milestone, as a bat would be. So when you give a guy your bat for him to use for his 500th home run, you know, when he's sitting on $4.99, you know that that's the case. And based upon your scenario, he didn't start thinking about this until a couple of years after the fact.
Correct, when he realized how much money it might be worth.
Yeah, and so so based upon that and the fact that I'm not necessarily sure that he could say it was his bat. I don't know if the ball players necessarily buy their own bats or if they're supplied by the ball club or if they're part of endorsement deals that come. So it's like
they're custom made for them and they put their signature on the barrel. So yeah, each player has their own bat.
Well, they might have their own bat, but who paid for it?
Oh yeah, good question.
Who paid for it? Who brought it in? I mean, yeah, the team's got. So I'm going to say this is not a case. And does that, you said, Denise?
Yes.
No case. So look, if we're wrong, Cal could get 4 points and really.
He's far ahead of us.
Yeah.
This is stunning.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
So what is
so
your?
So I say no case.
All right. Well.
Well, do we want to do names?
Do you want to hear whether it's case or no case, and then we can do names, or what do you want?
No, let's go ahead and go. We'll do it all at one time. Give me your name. Denise,
what do you think?
Guess?
Well, I can't even think of a name. I mean, I am so unfamiliar with baseball. The only ones that come to my mind is like Willie Mays, and I know that that's way too long ago.
Well, not that. He played in the 60s. What do you think, Todd? Give me a name.
Well, I don't know who Tony is.
Okay. Well, Tony is the toughest one, I admit.
Well, that's funny because I'm going with Willie Mays.
Okay.
Oh.
Because that's the only name I could think of. And I'm going with the on-deck batter is Bobby Bonds.
Bobby Bonds?
He played with Willie Mays. That's
oh,
why.
Yeah.
That's why Barry.
Daddy. Yep,
that's why Barry Bonds, his godfather, is Willie Mays because they played on the same team.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm going Willie Mays is the hitter and Bobby Bonds is the Tony.
This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing.
Uh-oh.
Because I listened to you hash this out and unfortunately you're both wrong. You're just both.
Wow.
He filed a $1 million case against the Baseball Hall of Fame for this $500,000 bat. Said you cannot appropriate my property. Now, the case was settled out of court. We don't know how or what, you know, what happened there. But the case was settled out of court. And who is Chuck? Well, you're going to hate yourself when I tell you. Chuck is Mickey Charles Mantle. And Tony was Joseph Anthony Tony Pepitone. Joe Pepitone.
Oh, that was my second answer. Oh.
But the Mickey Mantle one might have been easy. It was May 14th, 1967. That he hit that ball out of the park. And 500th home run, big deal. And Mantle, by the way, had medically beaten himself up by hanging out with Billy Martin so much that he eventually said, I can't run anymore, I can't hit anymore, I can't go first to third on a single. Time for me to quit. And he did.
Wow. Aww.
But that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to tell you, for Todd and Denise's sake, and delighted for myself, of course, is case Was it that?
I gave you 6 points.
Thank you. Was it too tough, do you think? I mean, honestly.
No.
Okay. I don't want to.
Yes.
I don't want to be seeming like piling on, but I thought maybe Mickey Mantle would be, you know, maybe a shot.
I would have thought that it was too tough. It was like if Fred was here and it was one that we clearly got because we're into baseball and we were correct and Denise didn't get it. It was one of those that required that specialized knowledge. But look, it was one that stumped me, stumped Denise, and because you were able to analyze it more. It didn't require a baseball knowledge. It required more of a, what is the law here?
And a legal knowledge of what would happen. Yeah. And a donation. What they said in their statement is, a donation to the Baseball Hall of Fame has been our property since we got the bat, and it will remain so. So I don't know if they gave him any money. I mean, you know, retired ball players, a lot of them don't have much money left.
So that's, you know, 1967. Look, Dave Winfield is the first person that he was the $100,000 man or something like that.
Right.
And was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. And that was in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yep.
Now some dude's making, you know, makes $3 million a year because he can bat 230, which is ridiculous, but whatever.
And when Babe Ruth got his first big contract, it was made more than the president. What did he say when he was called on that? You're making more than the president. What did he say? I had a better year than he did.
That is awesome. All right, we're back for our final half hour after this. Don't go away. Trump is in the news.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk with Todd Kuhnen and Denise Dirks, and we thank you for doing so. We'll be back with more after a little bit. Don't go away.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-721-4869. 800-721-4869. That's 800-721-4869. Keep listening for an exciting offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Plus, get free shipping and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Copays and deductibles may apply. 800-251-7560. That's 800-251-7560. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
I like the Amargosa Valley.
You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order! They're out of order!
Radio Law Talk. Now, back to the show.
Todd, before we start, I want to correct an errata. Judge Wapner was not a boxing referee. The judge that turned a career in Reno, Nevada into a TV show was Mills Lane.
Yep.
He's the guy who was the referee when Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear off. So I apologize for getting that wrong. Please forgive me. I do make mistakes.
Is that Mills Lane, Judge Judy's husband?
I think Mills Lane's so. Dead.
Did I have the wrong one?
He was 85 when he died, and it was quite a while ago. So anyway, God rest his soul.
I think he did. You ever seen Mills Lane Celebrity Boxing or Celebrity Death Match?
No.
Was that his show?
It's an animated thing where these, you know, they have the claymation of the two stars, and they go at it, and it's always bloody. It was on Comedy Central, and every show is refereed by Mills Lane. And I think he did the voice for it. It was just hilarious to, you know, see these two people go at it.
Well, he had quite a career. He was a lawyer, judge in Reno, was a boxer himself before he got into the law, and then ended up having parlayed all of that into a court TV show. Then comes Wapner, then comes Judy, a whole genre, starting with a boxing referee.
Yeah, not bad,
And biting in the ring has been okay ever since, apparently.
Well, especially if you're on a keto diet.
UFC.
Yes. So, if you remember the 21st time in September, 21st day of September, whatever. That's why I don't have a singing career.
You don't have a singing career because it saves all of us.
I don't have a singing career for a lot of reasons. Michael Cohen, former Trump fixer attorney, and the allegations that with Stormy Daniels that Trump paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 to keep her story quiet And then it came out that it was actually Michael Cohen paid, and then he was reimbursed by Trump. And then there was a question about how that was accounted for. Was it legal fees or was it hush money? And is this a campaign contribution? If so, it wasn't recorded and all this stuff. And the long and short of it is Federal Elections Commission said, we're not dealing with it, but Trump is being prosecuted for it in what county? It was in New York. In New York, under New York law.
In Manhattan.
Yes. And what is the latest of that, Denise?
Well, there's a lot going on. Right now, they've got a jury. So next week, they will do opening arguments. But Trump and his team had asked the judge to recuse himself because his daughter is a Democrat and a politically active Democrat and receives payment from the Democratic Party. And the judge declined to do that. And a lot of people would say, oh, my gosh, you know, he shouldn't be involved in this. He's, you know, clearly political or all this. No, that's not the truth. Judges have an ethical duty to hear the cases before them that they are assigned, unless they can't. Right? And so this certainly is not a clear conflict of interest that he has to recuse himself for. And he is not financially being benefited by the Democratic Party himself. And the overview from the commission that overviews judges and these types of decisions reviewed it and said this isn't a reason to recuse himself. So he followed that recommendation and he denied the recusal. But you've got a different take. You, for some reason, Todd, his mind works differently than you and
Shocker.
I. Yes.
Well,
and it's just a different way of thinking.
Alert
and
the media.
I just get crazy sometimes when I think, how does he get that twisted? I mean, you tell me you're...
So
yes.
Wait, so there's a compliment and a slap. This is like being at home.
I'm waiting for the compliment. I think it was all slap. But
oh, the unique
no,
mind
it's
thing
not.
Is always,
it's not
unique
a slap.
Mind thing is always a compliment.
Okay, so...
Yeah, it's not a slap. It's meant to say that you just think in a different way that makes my mind twist to get there.
You know, the longer we are co-hosts on this, I think the more you're going to be able to identify and have sympathy for my ex-wife. You know, oh my gosh, how could you have been married? So look, there are a couple of ways that when it comes to the recusal of judge, and a lot of this has to do with California law, but most of the states are similar. You know, in California, an attorney can just under, was it Code of Civil Procedure Section 170.6, can have a judge recused. You just say, I believe the judge that before whom this case is set cannot be fair, is prejudiced against me or my interests or the defense, my client's interests, such that we cannot receive a fair trial. And you swear that out, make that oath, and a new judge is submitted. You don't have to prove that they're that way. You just make that statement, right?
Yeah, it's almost like when you have a juror, you get to have one or two automatic bumps, if you will, to get rid of the juror. It's kind of like that thought, at least in California.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is in New York, but in California, that's very true.
Very, very, very good analogy. And then there are some instances where a judge can recuse themselves. I mean, I would imagine there are some where judges recusing themselves is mandatory. And I think that all the analysis they did clearly was, the relationship of your daughter and everything does not require, it's not a mandatory recusal situation. Now, a judge can exercise their discretion. I understand the ethical implications. However, if a judge thinks, well, this could be an issue, and so they have their discretion if they want to avoid the appearance of impropriety because they have that ethical responsibility. And I would say that, you know, we ask jurors all the time, you know, prospective jurors, we say, look, do you have any family members that are members of law enforcement? And would your relationship with family members, if that are prosecutors or cops, how would you feel entering a not guilty verdict, knowing that your family has this? Because there's just some sort of pressure there, perhaps, right? And so you ask those questions, and I get that with this motion to recuse, because clearly I think the defense is saying, hold on a second here. The Federal Election Commission said they weren't going to follow this up, and it's really not that common for a DA to be prosecuting something that's election-based that the FEC said they're not going to follow up on. And because of that, they say, well, it must be politically motivated, and then they look to the Democratic. So you've got all of that, right? And I'm not saying that their argument is strong or weak. It's just out there.
It's right? out there.
It's just out there. That's what they have. But the reason the defense makes this motion is because they're setting up an issue for appeal. Bananas are an attorney's favorite fruit because they're easy to appeal. Remember that from law school. And here's the appellate issue. The appellate issue isn't that we made this great argument as to why the judge should have recused himself because of the relationship with their daughter. That's not the appeal argument. The appeal argument is to the appellate court, if there's a conviction, look, when we made the motion essentially accusing the judge of not being able to remain impartial because of his relationship with his daughter, we then ticked the judge off to the point that all of the subsequent rulings went against us, or the judge was prejudiced against us from that point forward, because the motion, in essence, made an allegation about the judge's ability to remain impartial. And so while it might not have held much water going up to that point, because we made the motion, there you go. Now, that's going to require, if there's a conviction and on appeal, a laundry list of subsequent rulings by the court that went against them. But they're setting it up so that they have that. Because remember, if you don't make an objection, what happens?
You lose it. You waive it.
Yeah, you can't raise an issue on appeal for the first time if you never made the objection in the trial court. So this whole thing is a ploy to set it up so that, you know, it's essentially telling the judge at this point, okay, we made the motion. Now, judge, you know that you'd better be fair on your rulings, because now our issue on appeal is going to be, if you're not fair in the rulings, we're going to say you're just mad at us because we made this motion. So that's the tactic behind it. And,
Now, as a judge, I have recused myself before. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a very obvious one is I formerly represented one of the parties. I cannot hear that case. It would be presumed biased. And I have also recused myself when the people involved in it were my neighbors. And I knew the subject matter of the property, and I knew, you know, different things. And now that I knew too much outside of being a judge, that's why I recused myself again.
Don't judges hate to be appealed, though? I mean, isn't that just kind of like a point of pride for them?
Yes and no. I think your average judge, trial judge, is not concerned about that so much. They're concerned about doing right, what they believe is right, and following the law.
Primarily, they hate being overturned on appeal. That's what
I'm trying to ask, I guess.
Yeah. All right, we're heading up on our break. We'll be back after this if I can get rid of the hiccups.
Take a spoonful of sugar, it works. Well, you're listening to Radio Law Talk. We'll be right back. Hold on.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In, ready to grow with you.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick Quack Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Well, come on.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
So we have an update. We have an update for you. The Rust case out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, the armorer, the person responsible for safety on the set who was supposed to safeguard the weapons, the one responsible for physically giving each weapon to an actor to use in a scene, the prop weapon, regardless of whether a prop weapon, live weapon, the one that was supposed to make sure that there was no live rounds, that was her job. And she was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter based upon the manner in which she did, or I should say alleged didn't do her job. And she was sentenced this last week by the trial judge. You know, and the way they do it is, you know, you have the verdict happens, and then there's a period of time where probation submits a report, and the judge and both sides get to submit briefs as to what they think the sentence should be. The prosecution was asking for the maximum term of imprisonment, which involuntary manslaughter in the state of New Mexico carries an 18-month maximum term. And the prosecution wanted the 18 months, and the defense was seeking a lesser amount coupled with probation. So, you know, maybe 3 months with a 18-month probationary term or 3-year probationary term or something like that. And the judge issued the sentence, 18 months, gave her the max. And I can tell you right now, I am shocked. I am very surprised.
I thought the opposite. I thought it wasn't enough. I'm sorry.
But I thought it was because he didn't believe she showed proper remorse for what happened.
Well,
see, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm sure that factors in, but I thought that was mentioned somehow. Yeah.
So the judge, Mary Marla Sommer, she said, I find what you did constitutes a serious, violent offense. Okay. I got an issue with that statement because this is involuntary manslaughter. Serious violent offense is not consistent with the theory of involuntary manslaughter, which is I did something, but I didn't intend to kill anybody.
Tragic oversight.
Yes, tragic oversight, but I didn't. It's not a serious violent offense is usually, that terminology is usually held out for people that commit intentional acts that result in harm to others. This is involuntary manslaughter, which in some jurisdictions is a wobbler, meaning it can be a felony or a misdemeanor, okay? And but the 18 months, now, Denise, you said you thought it should be more.
I did.
And why is that?
Because I thought that she was negligent and grossly negligent as the armor on the set, and I just was surprised that involuntary manslaughter was only 18-month maximum. I thought 3 years.
Yeah, so there'd be no basis for the judge to order more time because this is the maximum amount. But I want to read to you what her statement was. Hannah Gutierrez, what her statement was, and this was a statement that she prepared and read to the court. Mind you, at this point in time, in the prosecution's brief requesting the maximum amount, the prosecution cited a lack of contrition during the trial, that she showed a lack of contrition or remorse during the trial. And I've got an issue with the prosecution making that argument. But Gutierrez Reed, after the guilty verdict came down, said, and I quote, "Your Honor, when I took on Rust," name of the production, "I was young and naive, but I took my job as seriously as I knew how to. I beg you, please don't give me more time. The jury has found me in part at fault for this horrible tragedy, but that does not make me a monster. That makes me human." Okay. It's easy to armchair quarterback and second-guess attorneys and things like that, but I can just tell you, from my two cents, I would never let my client say that to a judge.
That was a poor statement, in my opinion. And I'm not a lawyer, but if I were a juror, I'd go, oh, poor baby.
Yeah.
There's a dead person because of what you did. I'm sorry.
Now, the jury didn't hear any of this. Jury takes no part in it, but the judge does.
Yeah, even if I were a
judge,
I would.
If you know that the prosecution is saying you showed no remorse, and that's why you should get the maximum term, you don't then make a prepared written statement that you read to the court that even remotely supports the defense or the prosecution's contention that you showed a lack of remorse.
Self-justification.
Which is what happens when you start using the excuses like, I was young and naive. Okay, you were young and naive and you knew you shouldn't have taken that job.
Exactly.
You didn't. You knew you were not qualified for that job, but you did it anyway. Okay, the jury has found me in part at fault. Look, you don't know what's going to happen. You were found guilty. You're still trying to blame it on other people. And the fact of the matter is, there's only one other defendant out there right now, and his trial is yet to come up, and it's Alec Baldwin. And what you did preceded him. What you did led to what he is being charged with. If anybody has a right to say it was in part my fault, it's Baldwin, because you gave me or oversaw a situation where I was given a gun that had a live round in it.
Hello.
You had like one job, and you didn't do that.
She had two jobs.
Yeah. Well, one job.
Her defense was that it was really the production company's fault because they hired her to do two jobs when she should have only had to focus on one.
Yeah,
But she could have said, you know what, I'm not going to take the gig. It's too many jobs. I can't do it safely. I'm out. But she didn't do that.
Yeah, she was young, as she said, she was young and naive. Now, here's the problem that I have with the prosecution statement that she showed a lack of contrition during the trial, right? I can't remember if she testified or not. But when you testify and you're being asked to give an account of the facts, you have to give an account of the facts. So they're saying that she... if she testified, she should get the max because she didn't cry, because she didn't say I'm sorry, because she didn't. I'm doing a defense here as to why I'm not liable for this. And essentially, by saying you showed a lack of contrition during the trial is punishing her for putting on a defense and exercising her right to a trial.
Contrition indicates guilt, right?
Yes.
I mean, you would say, I'm guilty. I shouldn't have done this. That would be what the contrition would show.
The prosecution is arguing that she should get the maximum sentence because she exercised her right to a trial.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely disagree with. You can't say that. And because they said it, now the judge has to be in a position where the judge says, well, you know, when I did sentencing, I thought about this, but I didn't think about that. I swam in the non-chlorine section of the pool. Really, folks? Really? And quite honestly, maximum sentences should really be reserved for those that have long criminal histories, they've been in and out of the law, or for truly egregious conduct. And while I don't like what she did or her negligence, I can't put her in the same position as somebody else who commits the same offense or somebody died and say that, you know, the person that she's in the same category as the person that has five priors on their record.
But the judge is going to be up for election, and so is the DA. And right. They could not, in a high-profile case, say, well, I was going to go for the max, but you know. I mean, I can see politically how this had to happen, and you can see why, justice-wise, it should not have. I get both sides.
Yeah, we'll see what appeals court says if they take it there. Curious to see how this impacts the Alec Baldwin case. But now...
You know what I'm curious about? I'm curious if I have a quick take to share with our audience. I'm sure you and Denise each may have a quick take or a slow take. Either way, Todd, do you have one?
I do. And it piggybacks on what I said earlier in this case. All of these cases, the OJ case, the Pullman, the Idaho case, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Arizona, they all have the same thing in common. High-profile cases that are putting law enforcement, prosecution, and investigation under a microscope. Sometimes they can withstand it, sometimes they can't.
Denise, do you have a quick take that people should take away from the show today?
Yes, that judges have a duty to hear the cases before them and try not to get out from underneath the hard and difficult cases.
That is true. Well, thank you for joining us on Radio Law Talk. We'll be here next week, same time, 9 a.m. Pacific, next Saturday, 27th. We look forward to seeing you then. Have a good week, folks.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.